Psalm 116, if you would, let's stand with us, please, out of reverence to the Word of God, if you're able to do so. Psalm 116, and this is a verse, we're going to read all that we read a while ago, but we'll read just a portion of the verses. We'll begin reading this time in verse 3. In Psalm 116, in verse 3, the Bible says, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me." I want to call your attention to verse 6. That phrase in the center of the verse, "I was brought low." And I want to speak to you this morning on high living in low places. High living in low places. Life is filled with low places. Life is filled with trouble and heartache and sorrow. But I want to tell you, you can live high even in the low places. The Bible talks about the valley a great deal, and about the valley. And one thing I noticed about the valley, the Bible talks about the lily of the valley. You don't find lily on the mountaintops, but you find the lily on the valley. You find the lily, the sweetness. You find the scent of our Savior who condescended and brought himself to the lowest part for you and I. I'm glad even in the low places, you can live high. You want to talk about that this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray to help us as we look into your word this morning. Lord, I pray that, Lord, I know there are needs and burdens and cares here this morning. Lord, I pray that we would cast those aside for a few moments. May we hear from heaven. Lord, there are some this morning that are in the low place. Maybe some who've just come out of a low place. Lord, perhaps some that are soon be in a low place. Lord, may we understand that in those valleys, in the darkest, in the loneliest times of life, that you're still the lily of the valley. Not on the mountaintop where it's easy to live and easy to proclaim your goodness, but we're down the valley. Lord, I'm glad your presence is there. I'm glad your beauty is there. Lord, I pray you'd help us this morning to learn how to live high in the low places of life. Thank you for your word. May you exalt your precious Son. And Lord, we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. High living in low places. I wish it were true that all of life were mountaintops, but life is not that way. As a matter of fact, if you notice in verse 4, he said, "I found trouble," or excuse me, rather in verse 3, he said, "I found trouble and sorrow." Now, what brings us to the low places of life? In Psalm 119 and verse 28, the psalmist said, "My soul melteth for heaviness." In Lamentations 3 and verse 55, he said, "I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon." Jeremiah, by the way, remember Jeremiah was cast into the dungeon. And Jeremiah said, it was in the low dungeon. It was in the bottom part of my life that I called upon the Lord. And by the way, that's a good thing to do when you get in the low dungeon, is to call upon the Lord and to get his advice and his counsel. But I want to speak to you this morning on this thought, high living in low places. What brings about the low places? How do low places come about? Well, first of all, low places come about, sometimes they're brought about by the pressures of life. Sometimes low pressures are brought about in the pressures of life. Notice again, verse 3, "The sorrows of death compassed me." They surrounded me. They were all around me. Verse 3, "They compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow." Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. He said, trouble was all around me. He said, trouble was on every side. Doesn't it seem like that troubles come in bunches? They say it comes in packs of three. I don't know. They say it comes in packs of three often, that it's one heartache after another, one trouble after another, one burden after another. I don't know about packs of three, but I know this. Paul said that I was troubled on every side. There was no escape. Has life ever gotten you to a low place where you thought there's no escape? Everywhere I turn, every facet of life, in my family life, in my financial life, in the workplace, and maybe even everywhere else I look in life, it seems like there's trouble on every side. And sometimes the pressures of life bring us to a low place. That's what it did for David. In Psalm 116, verse 3, he said, "I found trouble and sorrow. Sorrows of death can pass me about. I couldn't go anywhere that I didn't find grief." And sometimes the pressures of life will bring us to a low place. They may be financial pressures. They may be physical pressures. Maybe you've been to the doctor over and over and again. It just seems like there's no relief. There's no answers. And the doctors even have more questions than what they have answers. And those pressures can bring us to a low place in life. Sometimes it's financial pressures. It seems like you take one step forward and two step back. Seems like one time you get one bill paid off and two more are around the bend, around the corner. Sometimes financial pressures bring us to a low place. Sometimes relationship problems bring us to a low place. Sometimes family matters bring us to a low place. And the pressures of life are so many and so great. He said in verse 3, I found not just trouble, but I found trouble and sorrow. He said it wasn't bad enough that I had problems. He said, but I had grief on top of the problems. The psalmist said it one time this way. He said, sorrow upon sorrow. Paul said it in Philippians chapter 3, I believe it was. Paul said, lest I have sorrow upon sorrow. In other words, to add insult to injury, to pour some salt on the wound. There are times when life does that, and it seems like we're compassed about with sorrow and grief. And sometimes the pressures of life can bring us to a low place in life. Not only does the pressures of life bring us to a low place, but sometimes punishment from God brings us to a low place. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 14, verse 15, and verse 43 and verse 44, all talks about being brought down or being brought low because of their sin. In 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 19, he says, for the Lord hath brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. The Bible said in Psalm 69, verse 20, reproach hath broken my heart. I am full of heaviness. Psalm 79, verse 8, oh, remember not against us our former iniquities. Let thy tender mercy speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. In verse 9, he talks about our sins and purge away their sins for his name's sake. In Psalm 106 and verse 43, many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. I want to tell you, the pressures of life can bring us low, but sometimes punishment from a wayward child of God will bring us low. Sometimes all times we're going to pay for our sin. If you're a believer, if you're a child of God, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and we transgress God's word and we go against His will, I'm telling you, it may not come as soon as you think. It may come later. It may come in a different facet of life or a different form. But I'm telling you, when we transgress God's word as God's children, He will bring us to a low place. Sometimes the low places are brought about because of the pressures of life. Sometimes they're brought about as a punishment because of our sin. He said we're brought low because of our iniquity. Sometimes they're brought about because of the providence of God. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 2 in verse 2. He said, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rot like our God. He said, there is none as holy. Neither is there any beside thee. The word holy there is an interesting term. It means righteous. There's none as righteous. Can I say this word? There's none as right as he. Here's what he's saying. Hannah's actually praying there. And Hannah says, God never makes a mistake. He is holy. He is right. He is always right, is what Hannah said. Hannah said, God never makes a mistake. He's holy. He cannot sin. He cannot commit iniquity. He cannot be unjust. Can I say this word? He cannot be unfair. Yet we often hear that word. Well, God's not fair to me. God's not just to me. God's not doing right by me. Hannah said, and Hannah was grieving for a child. Hannah said, God cannot be unjust. He cannot be unholy. He cannot be unfair. God is just. God is right. And whatever God does, God is perfect in what He's doing. Hannah goes on to say in verse 7 of that same passage, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and He lifteth up. Here's what Hannah's saying. Hannah is saying, first of all, God is holy. He is right. He cannot be unjust. He cannot be unkind. He cannot be unfair. He cannot be mistaken. He cannot operate on faulty. He is always just. He is always right. He's always perfect. And even God bringeth low. It's interesting to me that Hannah made the statement first in a very exclamatory manner that God is always just. And then she said, God sometimes brings us low. Because sometimes when we get low, we question whether God is just. We question whether God is loving. We question whether God is merciful. We question whether God is fair. We question whether God is holy when we get to a low place. The pressures of life bring us to a low place. Sometimes our punishment brings us to a low place. And sometimes the providence of God brings us to a low place. You say, preacher, there's nothing wrong, and it's not really the pressures of life, and it's not necessarily because we're being punished because of some wrongdoing, but God in His providence has brought us to a low place. That's where David is in Psalm 116. In verse 6, he said, notice the terminology, verse 6, he said, I was brought low. You know what David is saying? I'm not here of my own doing. I didn't come here on my own. David said, I was brought here to a low place. You ever been in a low place? Ever been in a place where you were surrounded by problems and burdens and care, surrounded by trouble and sorrow? Verse 3, they compass me, trouble and sorrow. David was saying, like Paul, I'm troubled on every side. I'm in a low place. I'm in a valley. I'm in a place where I'm brought low. What happens in the low place? Let me share with you very quickly five things that happen in the low places of life. I want to tell you, there can be some high living even in low places. Notice number one, first of all, the first thing that takes place in the low place, number one, pride is defeated. Pride is defeated in the low place. Notice, if you would please, verse 4. Verse 3, he said, the sorrows of death compassed me about, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then verse 4, he said, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee. The word beseech there means to beg or to plead. Boy, it's hard to be proud when you're begging. It's hard to be proud when you're pleading. It's hard to be proud when you're at somebody else's mercy. He said in verse 4, I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Notice verse 6, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. You know, it's mighty hard to brag when you're sitting on the bottom. Hard to brag when you're at the bottom of life, isn't it? It's hard to brag. It's hard to be proud. It's hard to be arrogant when you're at the very bottom and life is crushing you and the problems in life and turmoils that life offers seems to be pressing you down to a place where it seems like there's no way out. And it's hard to be arrogant and it's hard to be proud when you're in the bottom of the valley. May I say to you, the first thing that takes place when you're in the low place is pride is defeated. You say, preacher, I don't like being in the low place. It may be that God is trying to either cure pride in our life or maybe trying to prevent pride in our life. Everyone's been brought low. No one likes to be brought low. No one likes to be embarrassed or disgraced. But I want to tell you, sometimes it is necessary for God to bring us low, because if not, we would be lifted up with pride. Remember what the Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 29? He said, lest I be full and deny thee. He said, Lord, feed me with food that is convenient for me, lest I be lifted up. I want to tell you, there are times when a low place in life is necessary for us so that we're not lifted up with pride, or it could be that God brings us to a low place so that we'll defeat pride. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Isaiah 13 and verse 11, he said, I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I want to tell you, when we get lifted up with pride in our life, God will bring us low. So, preacher, how do you know it cured David of pride? Well, skip down, if you will, please, to verse 16. He said, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Now notice the psalmist David there, and twice in verse 16 says, O Lord, truly, or verily, verily, or for a fact, or for a certainty. He said, truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant. Now, did David stutter? David wasn't stuttering. Well, why does David repeat, I am thy servant, I am thy servant? Here's what David's saying. David is saying, I'm the servant's servant. Now, to be a servant is one thing, But to be the servant of a servant doesn't get any lower than that. David said, I'm not even God. I'm not even worthy to be a servant of yours. Just let me be a servant of your servants. Now I'll tell you, that's humility. That is defeating pride. And I say to you, when we get to the low place, God has a way of bringing us to the low place, and that low place will help us to defeat pride. And when you come to the low place, pride can be defeated. May I add this? Only when you come to the low place can pride be defeated. I understand you say, preacher, the low place is not a place I want to live. It's not a place that I want to dwell. It's not a place that I'm fond of. But I'm saying to you, there are times, and I know in my life, I don't know about in your life, but I'm telling you, in my life, there's times that I know God has brought me to a low place so that pride could be defeated. He's brought into a low place. Number one, the first thing that takes place in a low place, number one, pride is defeated. Number two, go back to verse 1, if you would please, of Psalm 116. Not only do we see pride is defeated in the low place, but notice, number two, our passion is deepened in the low place. Notice, if you would please, verse 1. He said, I love the Lord. On Friday night, Brother McBride preached on emotions. And boy, what a great message that was. Talked about emotion. One of the most interesting things he said was the fact, and he mentioned it to me again on Saturday morning, we were talking. He said, it's interesting that Job is a book about sorrow. Job is the premier book about trials and heartaches and burns, yet the word laughter, or a form of the word laugh or laughter, is found more in Job than any other book in the Bible. Yet Job is known for his grief and his heartache and his sorrow. And we understand that Job, and he talked about emotions and the emotions that we have in life. And in Psalm 116, verse 1, the psalmist David said, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Now in verse 6, he's going to say, I was brought low. So preacher, what's that telling me? It's telling me that when we're brought low, our passion for our Savior can deepen in the low places. Turn, if you will, please, to Psalm 142. Hold your place in Psalm 116. We'll come back there. And look in Psalm 142. I want you to see this passage of Scripture and notice the psalmist's response once again. In verse 1, he said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. And he said, verse 2, he said, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Now notice, if you would please, Psalm 142, verse 1. Psalm 142, verse 1. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, they have privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. And the righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. In verse 4, he said, no man cared for my soul. In verse 6, he said, I was brought very low. May I say to you, when you get to the low place, it seems like everybody abandons you at the low place. We call them fair weather friends. Boy, you can find friends all over the place on the mountaintop. We call them bandwagon fans. Team wins a championship or they have a winning streak. Man, everybody's on the bandwagon. You have some success in life and prosper a little bit. Boy, everybody's your friend. You get Facebook requests all the time. But I'll tell you something, when life is down and you're in the low place, sometimes the only person you'll find is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you discern real quick in the troubles of life and the heartaches of life who your true friends are. It's amazing how many relationships have been rekindled, how many friendships have been nourished about because when they got to a low place, they found out who their true friends were. And they realize maybe they have neglected that individual. Maybe they had kind of lost contact with them. But I'll tell you, when you get to the low place, it could be that family will pass you up. Could be when you get to the low place that your friends won't be there like they said they would be there. Could be when you get to the low place that those that you thought were your greatest allies and your closest companions and those that always would have your back, it seems like they may disappear when you get to the low place. But I'm telling you, there's one person that will never leave you and never forsake you. Now I'm telling you, when you get to the low place and those people that are there for you, there's a bond there, there's a commitment there, there's a love there that nothing can separate, nothing can sever, because they were with you in the low place. And I'm telling you, when you understand that God is with you in the low places of life, there's a passion that deepens. It's no wonder that in Psalm 116, in verse 1, the only time this phrase is found anywhere in Scripture, it was when David was at a low place that David proclaimed, "I love the Lord." I don't know if we can emphasize enough. Notice, if you would, please, in Psalm 116, verse 1, notice the word love is in all caps. Remember when you fell in love? Man, there was something that changed your spirit. There was something that just lightened up the room. We were in Texas a couple weeks ago, and my wife and I flew out on Saturday morning, and Juliana had flown out first, and she was at the airport. Then Megan came to the airport, and we were there on Saturday, and boy, the four of us were all together. Man, we was having a great time, and we had a great day in church on Sunday and good fellowship, and on Monday we had a great day, and on Tuesday we had a great day, and on Tuesday afternoon I heard this ruckus outside. I walked outside, and lo and behold, what the dog had drug up. It was something that had wandered in from another state. You know what I'm talking about, the punk. Dylan the Villain's what I call him. The punk had showed up. And all of a sudden there was one in the group, and only one in the group. But there was one in the group whose eyes lit up, whose smile got bigger. You know why? That one she loved had showed up. Hey, when's the last time that you got in God's presence and your eyes got wider and your smile got bigger? You know why? Because the one, you understood how much he loves you and how much we love him. The word love there is in all caps. David says, I can't emphasize it big enough. He said, if I could put it in bold print, I would. I'd underline it. I'd put it in red. I'd highlight it. I love the Lord. When he got in the low place. What does the low place do for us? Well, number one, it defeats pride. Number two, our passion is deepened. Notice number three, it is in the low place oftentimes. If you notice verse 8, if you would please. Verse 8 of this text. He said in verse 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from my tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Just an interesting thing about verse 8. He's delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. David said, he took away from me the grave. He took away from me my grief, and he gave me guidance. Notice he took away death. He took away the tears, and he kept his feet from falling. Three things he gave him there. But notice number three, the third thing is our path is discovered in the low places. A path is discovered in the low places. Everybody likes to live on the mountaintop. Man, the view is grand. But you know what happens on the mountaintop sometimes? The fog sets in. And when you're on the mountain and you're sinking down the fog, you can't see the path very well. You know what you do in the fog? You get down low. You don't drive with your high beams in the fog, because it shines the light upward, but all you see is fog. But in the fog in the early morning, you set your low beams on. Sometimes they call them fog lights. You know what they often. Times they put those fog lights, they put them down at the bottom of the vehicle. Why? So you can see low. I'm going to tell you, when you get in the low places, sometimes your path becomes more clear, because God directs in the low places of life. He said in verse 8 and verse 9, notice he said in verse 8, he said, my feet will from falling. And in verse 9, he said, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. In Psalm 40, in verse 2, he said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Psalm 17, verse 5, he said, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Psalm 18 and verse 36, thou hast enlarged my steps unto me, that my feet did not slip. In the low places, a path is discovered. Oftentimes I meet people who, boy, life is grand and yet life is prosperous, but life has no purpose. Life has no meaning. And sometimes God has to bring us to a low place. Can we say it this way? God has to bring us down a notch. And in that low place, God says, okay, here's the path. Here's the way I want you to walk. Here's the way I want you to go in. In a low place, oftentimes a path is discovered. I want you to notice number four, the fourth thing very quickly, in verse 17, if you would. Look in verse 17 of Psalm 116, verse 17. He said, I'll offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. May I say to you, number four, in the low place, praise is declared. Praise is declared. Turn, if you would, please, with me to Psalm 136. Psalm 136, I want you to see one verse there. Psalm 136, and let's notice verse 23. Psalm 136, and look in verse 23. The psalmist David said in Psalm 136, verse 23, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. Now just scan that psalm, if you will, and notice how the last verse of every verse in that psalm ends. They all end the same way. Verse 1, all the way down to the end of the psalm, he said, the last part of the phrase says, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, when did David begin to praise God? When did he exclaim God's greatness? And when did David exclaim most exclusively and most adamantly the mercy of God? The Bible said when he was in a low estate. David said, when I was in the bottom. When I was in a low estate, the Bible says, for his mercy endureth forever. I want to tell you, it's in the low places that oftentimes praise is declared. Turn, if you would, please, with me very quickly, if you would, to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. As you turn to Psalm 107, let me just read to you some other verses. Psalm 50, verse 14. He said, offer unto God thanksgiving. Pay thy vows unto the Most High. Psalm 107 and verse 22. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Now, remember, that's in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Now, what's odd about a sacrifice in Hebrews chapter 13? There's something strangely out of place in Hebrews 13. Why in the world, when in Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible say offer a sacrifice? What's odd about that? What's out of place about that? Well, you go back to chapter 10, and the Bible says the sacrifices in chapter 10 are over with. They're done. The last sacrifice has been given on the cross of Calvary. The great sacrifice has been given. You say, preacher, we don't offer sacrifices anymore. No, not the sacrifice of rams and bullocks and goats and dove. Not that sacrifice. But God does not ask for a sacrifice of a dove or of a bullock or of a ram or a lamb. There's only one sacrifice God asks for today, and that is a sacrifice of praise. Turn forward, please, to Psalm 107, and notice this passage of Scripture. Look in Psalm 107. Look in verse 39. Psalm 107, verse 39. Again, they are menaced and brought low. They're in a low place. Through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he poureth contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and shall rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Now get this, in verse 39, the Bible says that God brought them low. But in verse 43, he said, even though those who are wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Now get this, he's saying that God brought him low in verse 37. In verse 43, he said, even those that understand, if they're wise, if they understand anything, even they understand that God is being gracious and God is being kind when he brings his people low. For what purpose? Well, let's go back a little bit and look in verse 35, if you would. Psalm 107, verse 35. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that he may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of the increase. He blesseth them also that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. You say, preacher, now in verse 39 to verse 42, he talks about bringing them low. And he says that we'll understand the loving kindness of God in God bringing his people low. What is that for? Where's verse 35 down to verse 38? He talks about how he blesses them. Now, what's the point? What's the point of God bringing his people low and then blessing them? What's the object in that? Well, notice verse 21, if you would please. Matter of fact, look in verse 8. Verse 8 says, all that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look in verse 15. All that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look in verse 21. All that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look in verse 31. All that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. God allows us to come to the low places that his praise might be declared. In verse 37 of this passage, the Bible said they were, excuse me, verse 39, they were brought low. Again, they didn't come there on their own accord. They didn't volunteer to go to a low place. They didn't sign up to go on a cruise to a low place. No, God brought them to a low place. Why? So that his praise would be declared. Notice the last thing very quickly back in Psalm 116. Back in Psalm 116, notice the last thing we're going to look at this morning. In a low place, pride is defeated. In the low place, praise is declared. I want you to notice in the last thing in the low place, a payment is demonstrated. Notice if you will please in verse 12. He said in verse 12, what should I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Now, interesting, isn't it? Verse 6, he said he brought me to a low place. I'm at the bottom of the barrel. But I'll tell you what happens at the low place. In the low place, pride is defeated. In the low places, our passion for Christ is deepened in the low place. In the low place, a path is discovered, and God gives us direction, and he sets our path according to verse 7, verse 8, and verse 9, and we walk before the Lord. Not before men, but we walk before the Lord. In the low place, praise is declared. And then notice the last thing. In the low place, payment is demonstrated. Notice verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Well, there's three things. Notice them quickly. Notice verse 2, if you would, please. But verse 2 says, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. May I say to you, the first payment that's rendered is the payment of prayer. He said, because he inclined his prayer unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. David says, the next time I get in a low place, I'm not putting it on Facebook and asking everybody to pray. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with asking people to pray. Paul said, David said, I'm not going to go to my friends. David said, next time I get in a low place, I'm going to cry out to God because he inclined his ear to me. Notice, if you would please, verse 9. He said, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Not only does David owe him his prayer, but David owes him his path. He said, I will walk before the Lord. I'm not going to walk before men. I'm not going to try to please society. I'm not going to try to be in tune with the culture. I'm not going to try to be in line with what the world has. David said, I'm going to walk before the Lord. David said, I owe my prayer to him. I owe my path to him. He brought me to a low place. In the low place, payment is demonstrated. What should I render to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Notice the last thing very quickly. Notice in verse 14. He said, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of his people. Verse 18, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Not only did he do it prayerfully, and we see he owed him his prayer, he owed him his path, but notice in verse 14 and verse 18, he owed it publicly. Notice he said, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. You know what David was saying? I'm not going to walk before the Lord just on Sunday in the tabernacle. David said, I'm going to walk before the Lord every day in front of all men, those that are of the faith and those who are not of the faith, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to be a Sunday morning Christian. I'm going to live my Christianity Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday morning, Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 24/7. I'm going to walk before the Lord. I'm telling you, when God brings us to a low place, all we can say is, Lord, what can I give you back in return? In the low place, our passion for Christ is deepened. David said, I love the Lord. Said it in all caps. Said it emphatically. In the low place, pride is defeated. David said, Lord, I'm nothing but your servant. I'm not even your servant. I'm the servant's servant. I just want to serve you. David said, in the low place, my path has been discovered. It was in the low place that you established my steps. David said, in the low places, praises will be declared. David said, in the low places, payment must be rendered. Payment must be demonstrated. I've got to give back to the Lord that which He has so bountifully given me. Notice verse 7, he said, the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Verse 12, he said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? What do you do when life catches you in a low place? Well, it may be you're there because of the pressures of life. It could be that perhaps you're in a low place this morning because God is punishing you as a believer, and He's trying to draw you back with cords of love, and He corrects those that He loves. He corrects those who are His own. And maybe because you strayed from God, God is allowing punishment to come in your life, and He's doing that to draw you back to Him. And this morning, He has you in a low place. It could be that God's providence has you in a low place. It may not be about you at all. You see, it may be that God wants to proclaim His goodness. God wants His praises to be declared. God wants others to see what He can do in your life. I have been thinking a great deal this week about my good friend Greg Bryan and his family. One thing I've noticed, and I'm not a Facebook fan at all, but I've kept their Facebook page open every day this week so I can get updates on Greg, how Greg is doing. One thing I've noticed constant about Greg's page, it is filled with testimonies of praise. They're constantly thanking God for whatever God does in their life. Someone once said, notice, I got to show this to you. Notice verse 5. Verse 5 says, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. It was Spurgeon who said, God's sword of justice is sheltered in a sheath of grace. Now read that verse again. He said, gracious is the Lord and righteous, that's His sword of justice. Yea, our God is merciful. God's sword of justice is sheltered in a sheath of grace. God is gracious and God is merciful. It's interesting that the psalmist David says, God is gracious and God is merciful. And in the very next verse, he said, God brought me to a low place. Quite opposite, isn't it, from our response when we get into a low place? God, what have you done? God, what are you trying to teach me? God, what are you trying to accomplish? God, it's not fair. God, it's not right. God, I don't deserve this. That's not what David said. David said, God brought me to a low place. Because in a low place, pride is going to be defeated. In a low place, my passion for my Lord is going to be deepened. In a low place, a path is going to be discovered. In a low place, God's praises are going to be declared. He said, I will lift up my voice in the latter part of the verse. The psalm ends with, praise ye the Lord. That's how he ends the psalm. And in a low place, understand that in that low place, not only is praise going to be discovered, but payment is going to be demonstrated. We're going to give back to him when we find ourselves in the low place. Now, you may be here this morning and say, preacher, I'm in a low place. I didn't ask to be brought here. I didn't want to be brought here, but here I am. Well, let me ask you, is pride being defeated in the low place? Has your passion for the Savior been deepened in the low place? And may I say to you, if that's all we get out of the low place, that's worth everything. Is His praise being declared? Is a path being discovered? Is God showing you what He can do in and through you in that low place? And his payment being given back to him. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? I want to tell you, There's some high living even in the low place.